Lovely. Jacob Zuma, president of South Africa, has called for today, December 8th, to be a day of national prayer and reflection, calling upon South Africans to gather in halls, churches, mosques, temples, and homes for prayer services and remembering. Remembering and reflecting on the life of Nelson Mandela. Didn't expect that, and his contribution to peace in this world. Mandela inspired the world when, after 27 years of incarceration, he led his supporters not in a physical war against his very captives, but he led them in embracing all South Africans and dismantled apartheid, tackling institutionalized racism, poverty, inequality, and fostering racial reconciliation. He chose peace. As the Christians around the world gather today for the second Sunday of Advent, we also honor the message of peace, including in our Unity churches, where we sing the peace song every week, affirming for ourselves that we are accountable for being the presence of peace in this world. We are accountable. In Unity's book, The Revealing Word, A Dictionary of Metaphysical Terms, it's written that peace is harmony and tranquility derived from the consciousness, the awareness, derived from the awareness of the consciousness of the Christ. Derived from the awareness of the consciousness of the Christ within us. And our affirmation today is, I am an evolving channel of peace. Let us hold this in mind. I am an evolving channel of peace. Would you say that with me? I am an evolving channel of peace. One more time. I am an evolving channel of peace. So we may reflect on times when we weren't that channel. And I want you to allow yourself to let that go. Just let it go, and then know that we are all on this journey where we are evolving in our understanding. To reach a place of peace that so many of us desire, then, we begin by deriving that state of peace, that state of harmony and tranquility, from the awareness of the Christ consciousness. And isn't that what Advent is all about? Especially this time of year, we have the opportunity to remember the Christ we are seeking to birth is not the Jesus of 2 million years ago, rather the Jesus that is the Christ, that spiritual nucleus within each of us that was created by divine spirit. For the Christ is what we truly are. We each have that spiritual nucleus within us, whole and perfectly created and held in God mind. As Reverend David shared last week, as modern day mystics, which is us, people on our spiritual journey, our goal is to open a deep and constant connection to our Christ nature. And during Advent, we use the Christmas stories to empower us and know that we can build our understanding of these four states of inner being: faith, peace, love, and joy. And in this week's Inner Journey of Peace, we meet a young man who has a lot on his mind these days. Joseph, Joseph, where are you?
Life's as I know it, has ended. God, how did this happen? I've been so faithful to you. I studied the scrolls from childhood, and I follow the Hebraic laws better than most young men that I know. Does my dedication and commitment mean nothing to you? Why? Why do you keep testing me? I don't know what to do. My beloved Mary tells me she's pregnant, and I am hurt and confused. I thought I was her only beloved. When I went to my parents for counsel, they became furious. I tried to quickly explain that an angel appeared to Mary and foretold that this child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Oh, I probably should not have added that part. They looked as if I'd lost my mind. Maybe I have. For 2 weeks, I struggled with how to respond. The Hebraic law is clear. I am not to marry a woman in such a state. Finally, I decided to follow the law and not marry her. It is a grim choice, one that gives me no pleasure, for she is dear to me. That's it. That has to be my answer. I will tell her tomorrow, yet I feel so troubled. There is no peace in my heart tonight. As night fell, I prayed with all of my heart for the strength and wisdom to do what is mine to do for the glory of the God the Most High. What's the strangest thing? I dreamed a dream like no other. And in that dream, I was running through the desert at night, lost and cold and calling Mary's name. Suddenly, a star was in the sky, larger and brighter than any I had ever known. I heard a voice saying, "For this you came into the world." And a ray of light from the star pierced my heart. I felt weightless and wonderfully free as I soared through the air, following the beam of light toward the star. And then I awoke. In that moment, I knew that in some strange way, this was God's plan. And if I refused to wed Mary and accept this child as my own, I would live a cold and joyless life. For the first time I can remember, I cast aside my practicality and my observance of the law and followed my inner guidance. As soon as I realized my answer to Mary would be, "Yes, I will marry you," I had a light and joyful heart. Even though I imagine there will be many challenges ahead for Mary and I in raising such a son, I'm filled with a deep contentment. I'm a man blessed beyond measure who has traded the comfort of the known for the divinely unexpected, and I am at peace.
Thank you, Joseph, for traveling so far to be with us. Joseph could claim the truth we are holding today. I am an evolving channel of peace. Joseph was at a key choice point. He could choose to be at peace with his situation and welcome the experience, or he could have cursed the situation and told Mary that she was less than or an unworthy human being. It was his choice. He prayed, and from his divine guidance, his Christ consciousness within, he chose a peaceful path. When he awoke, he knew the answer. Joseph did not have peace because he did not have conflict in his life. He had peace because he turned that conflict over to God and listened to his inner guidance. So how do we handle conflict? Influential educator, author, and spiritual teacher, Dr. Parker J. Palmer, in his 2004 book, A Hidden Wholeness, The Journey Toward an Undivided Life, asks us, how do we respond to conflict or violence? Especially that which assaults the human spirit. For just as physical violence may cause a physical death, spiritual violence, the violence of negating someone's inherent value and worth, can cause death. Death of a sense of self, death of trust of others, death of risk-taking on behalf of creativity, death of commitment to a common good. He encourages us to embrace the process of conflict instead of taking the easy way out of fight or flight. He encourages us to be engaging with the process and meet conflict with nonviolence. I could identify with this because when I went to college, I left that safe environment at home. I observed that my first response to conflict was to run, just get out of there. It wasn't safe because I didn't know how to deal with conflict. I didn't know how to ground myself. But then, when I started to mature and build up that self-confidence, I added to my repertoire the response of fight, flight, then fight. And I would just go right at it and just be in your face, and I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be recognized. You didn't have to go my way in the end, but I didn't want to be negated. So Palmer teaches us a technique I could have used back then, but I'm glad to learn about, for effectively staying engaged in the process of nonviolence. And it's asking questions. When people decide to participate in decision-making and conflict resolution by asking questions, by deeply listening then to each other instead of arguing, by being present with an open heart, by being open to new possibilities without attempting to manipulate the outcome, they will reach the highest and the best for all. Palmer wisely points out that we do a disservice to ourselves and to our communities when we try to rush through this process of questioning, because we're uncomfortable with the tension that is built up in conflict. Sometimes we need to be in the question that's posed out there, the question that's caused conflict. We need to be there for a good while. Mandela endured 27 years of prison, refusing many times, as you'll remember, to give up his political beliefs in exchange for freedom. So many times he could have walked out if he gave it all up, but he didn't. 27 years of waiting for the highest and the best outcome. John Woolman, a Quaker who lived in New Jersey among Quaker farmers and businessmen whose very affluence depended heavily on slave labor, received a revelation from God that slavery was an abomination and that friends should set their slaves free. From 1746 until his death in 1774, Woolman devoted himself to sharing this revelation with Quakers. He was willing to be in that tension as he would walk into the meeting houses. He was willing to be in that tension as he would share, walking farm to farm, town to town, speaking his truth and standing in that tension. But hold the tension he did. Although it didn't happen in his lifetime, in the 1770s, the Quakers reached a consensus that they had to free all their slaves and petition the U.S. Congress for abolition of slavery. During that time, the entire Quaker community was also willing to hold that tension until they had reached, till they were open to a more integral way of being in the world, which meant that they, as a community, refused to succumb to the impulse to quickly resolve the tension prematurely, either by throwing Woolman out of the Quakers or by just voting to allow the slavery-approving majority to have its way. They were all evolving as a channel of peace. In the recent November-December edition of Unity Magazine, Reverend Tony Boehm, National Director for Unity Peace Skills and Transitional Ministries, shares insight that she has gained in her peace work, which is very much in alignment with Parker's process of questioning. And Reverend Tony takes it and turns this questioning process inward. She says that self-observation is the prelude to Christ consciousness. So, but before we can derive that harmony, we go into self-observation. She suggests three questions to get what Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore called the adverse ego out of the way and to allow the spiritual ego, the I am, to take control. When a situation arises and we are feeling that tension of conflict, she says we can ask ourselves three questions. One, what meaning am I giving to this? Am I trying to make myself right and someone else wrong? Or do I recognize that a thought arises? It just arises, and we can observe it. The second question, what's important here? Is it important for someone to save face or look good? Or is it most important that everyone is honored and heard, or that there is a harmonious outcome? The third question, what's my lesson? Is this an opportunity to learn how I show up in the world? Am I coming on too strong, too soft? Am I trying to give someone else their answer because I think I know what's best for them and not honoring their wisdom? Before I wrap up our ideas from today, I want to share a thought from a very lively discussion I had yesterday with someone from our community. Now he, Christopher McHale, has given me permission to share this with you. And when he mentioned it, I recalled this technique being used in the very first workshop I attended at Unity about peaceful conflict skills. It revolves around energy. So there are three major chi centers in the body. The primary chi energy center is located just below the navel, a couple inches below the navel. And this center is called the lower dantian, a place of power, especially when dealing with conflict. It makes sense, for when we are aligning the place of power here, the place of power in our heart, and the place of power in our mind, when we align that, we are much more grounded. And as soon as he said it, I thought of that tree that's behind me. It's such a beautiful creation that Robin did. Because when we're grounded like that tree, when we stand on what we know, that Christ's presence exists within us and that person that is 180 degrees opposed to us, then we can be like that tree and just sway and listen and open our hearts to them. And it may take years, but we can come together to create what works best for all, the highest and good in this universe. We are called to do it. So what Chris pointed out, when I learned this, I learned it from a standing position. They had us all stand up. What Chris pointed out was that we can take our hands and fold them gently and do this in a sitting position. And we can just rest them easily. So rest your hands easily, fold it just a couple inches below your navel. Just allow yourself to be in that position for a little bit as we finish up. And I'll invite you to go back to that position when we get to the meditation. But just allow that grounding to happen, that alignment of our power, our heart energy, our mind. So in conclusion, peace, harmony, and tranquility will be ours if we derive it from that Christ consciousness within us. Peace, harmony, and tranquility will be ours as we honor others and ourselves by recognizing the Christ within all and engaging in a questioning process. Especially this time of year when it seems like tensions and emotions run high. I behold for each of us that we allow the story of Joseph and the life of Nelson Mandela to inspire us to be the evolving channel of peace. Namaste.